SiriusXM Sports presents At the Races with Steve Bick. Horse racing, handicapping, interviews. This is At the Races with Steve Bick.
We're back, hour three, and Graham Motion will join us in about 3 or 4 minutes as soon as he finishes doing whatever he's doing. We'll find out what's up, and I'll catch you up on a few other little things from the weekend and today even at Belmont. 8:30 already this morning, so about 2.5 hours ago, the flight back to Kentucky, back to Louisville, for Justify and plenty of the other weekend participants that are headed back, Opportunity and the other, who else, Baffert, Randy Rand, of course, Abel Tasman, and the other horses that might have been in town, Monomoy Girl, I suppose Brad Cox may. Got to find out. We'll talk to. I didn't get a chance to finalize a thing with Brad today, so we'll get to him tomorrow to talk about Monomoy Girl and her win in the Acorn. Talk Viv to me and Monomoy Girl, and they hooked up a little. Monomoy Girl shrugged her off, continued on, and won well. You also. Looking at a couple, let's see, what else would we maybe not, Prince Lucky, Todd Pletcher, and that the Easy Goer was a bit of a, kind of an eye crosser afterward, right? It was like, what just happened there? And you know, that, it's funny, that Prince Lucky, you look down at where was there a race that could make him a winner? And he did have the race with Larry Jones, you know, early on that would have been competitive. But it just felt like, and it was third off the change. But that one was a bit of a. Luckily it wasn't a harbinger for the rest of the day, say the least. And to go back to Friday too, we should talk about, and I'm certainly going to get to Brian Lynch and Neil Drysdale. And you know, Brian Lynch went into, it's funny, Brian Lynch went into Friday looking for his first win of the meet, and I think he was 0-15 or 0-16 maybe, and pull out the chart, but he didn't come into the, you know, into the action on Thursday. We didn't get a chance to talk about it other than in passing. But Sardin first for Drysdale and Team Valor. That came in the Intercontinental, and that was exciting. Fapien, there's the other Baffert that I forgot about. Fapien on Thursday. And she did take to the grass, and there was a chance that she would, and you know, she set serious, you know, some serious pace, and maybe she's found a new home on the grass. We'll see what Baffert thought about that effort. And then La Signare, the French filly for Brian Lynch, and this is a one of the mixed ownership type projects. We'll talk about that this week. Sal Cumin and Tim Cambron and Anna Cambron and Peter Bradley Thoroughbreds, all teamed in on this Sayuni filly. And she was terrific and got a great ride from Rosario. And you know, it's interesting because Rosario, you know, who obviously has been, you know, well documented, it seems, you know, gets into this annual pattern of, you know, kind of slow starts and during the calendar year, and then picks up momentum as the year goes on. And I'm sure that Ron Anderson has tried to cure him of it. But it sure felt like this weekend was a that train pulling out of the station when it comes to Joel Rosario and the ride with Still Having Fun. But he met it out, as they say, the speed of La Signore. And early on, it felt like she was maintaining a bigger lead than, you know, one of those leads that would get swamped when they turned for home. And Significant Form, you know, was chasing her and was in a nice, comfortable beat, you know, getting that nice stalking trip. And she went off 4-5, and La Signore, a little over 6-1, and paid $1,460, and it helped finish the day nicely on Thursday. But we'll talk about those two terrific filly and mare stakes from Thursday. We'll get to Drysdale and Lynch. And, of course, Lynch closed out the day with the double and with Rosario. Emmy performance, the Oscar performance sister by point of entry, the Ammermans. So that was Thursday. We'll go to Saturday and to Graham Motion, who joins us now. And every year we get together the Monday after Belmont weekend, and we talk about Graham winning the Manhattan, because he does it every year now. And this time he did it with some unbelievable heroics by Edgar Prado. And he's got a long association, does Graham Motion, with Edgar. And Graham, congratulations to you and George Strawbridge. And It might as well be 2003, the way Edgar rode Spring Quality. It was masterful.
Yeah, it was a great race. It was, you know, just very exciting, just very rewarding. You know, we set out to try and win this race back in October last year when he ran at Aqueduct, and this was always my goal, and it's very gratifying when a plan works out like that. It's not very often it happens in this game.
No doubt. When you drew the 13, what was your reaction to hearing that?
I was pretty disappointed. I thought it really might compromise us, especially with it being such a competitive field, you know. I think the betting showed, you know, what a great race it was, what a great betting race it was, and how competitive it was. And I thought that was really going to, you know, play against us in this field.
How did it, obviously, it was going to affect strategy, because he's been attending paces, at least it's getting a forward position. What did you and Edgar talk about in terms of strategy?
I mean, that's exactly what we didn't want to do. I didn't want to start changing the game plan. I didn't want to compromise him because of the post. I find so often when you do that, it just plays against you. So, you know, we felt there was a little bit of speed in there. And basically we just decided that, you know, he was just going to try and get him tucked in the best he could going into the first turn, and it worked out beautifully.
It those that haven't seen it, you want to see the outside post to hedge position as quickly as reasonably possible without getting in anybody's way, and then kicking outside for a rally after saving all the ground, and a horse adjusting Graham to every instruction Edgar was offering him. It's a thing of beauty.
Yeah, I got to be honest. When we went down the, you know, first of all, we got through the first turn, and I felt like we'd kind of weathered the storm getting around the first turn. You know, once we got down the backside and I saw where Edgar was, he was kind of in his own little pocket down the backside, and I just thought it was setting up beautifully. You know, the horse that beat us last time, Chad's horse, was just in front of us. So I couldn't have been happier with where it was. I was a little nervous coming off the turn when he had to swing so wide, but I had a feeling he was going to get there all along.
Well, you mentioned Robert Bruce, and one difference in the way this thing turned out, Tyler Gaffalione, not that he did anything wrong, but he stayed on that course and ended up having to wait a couple different times before being able to come with his run, and it was too late. But it is notable, he galloped out two jumps past the wire, he's next to you, past the wire.
He doesn't get by us, so.
we're not going to play the gallop out game. this is a Pennsylvania bred, of course, of George Strawbridge's, and you know, this jacket so familiar, whether you sending him out or the long association with Jonathan Shepard for you as well, but this is a felt like kind of a familiar winner's circle between the Augustan jacket and Strawbridge and you and Edgar.
Yeah, I mean, look, I consider myself to be extremely fortunate to train for Mr. Strawbridge. I mean, when you train for people that have the bloodlines, the horses that he has, you know you're going to come up with a good horse. And this is a horse that we've always liked a lot from day one. If anything, it was a little bit of a red herring that he was a Pennsylvania bred and by a horse like Quality Road. And I probably kept him on the dirt a little longer than I should have. But I always thought he handled the dirt. I think when Mary Epler's horse beat us on the dirt, that was kind of a turning point for me because I knew how much I liked my horse. And I just felt, you know, if he was going to get to the next level, we had to get him on the grass. And sure enough, that's what happened.
And there was the, you know, the period, and bring us back to the beginning when he lost that time at the start of his career.
Yeah, I mean, look, he's a horse that has been lightly raced. We were very conservative with him early on. He was a big, strong horse that we liked early on as a two-year-old a lot. But he's had a lot of stop and starts, and people ask me what was wrong with him, and I don't think we ever really had a specific complaint, but he just had soundness problems, and every time Mr. Strawbridge would take him back to the farm and give him the time off, and I'm fortunate that he's so patient, and that played a lot into the result on Saturday.
Well, he's out of the deputy minister mayor, the Spring Star, which was an Augustan homebred as well, and goes back as well to Alice Springs. I mean, this is a strong female family for Strawbridge, and of course Alice Springs was a real serious, a very serious race mare.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, I was around Jonathan Shepherd's with a lot of these mares, so that's dating myself, but I remember a lot of these mares of George's.
Well, lay out a plan. How does the summer and potentially a run at Breeders' Cup, how does this change things? This is a gelding, so there's no stud career to worry about. What are your thoughts?
I mean, look, obviously I'd love to get into the Breeders' Cup. I think he's that caliber. The Bowling Green at the end of July is very tempting at Saratoga. But also you've got to think about a race like the Arlington Million. He just won, you know, or ran the race of his life going a mile and a quarter. So the Arlington Million is very tempting. So, look, I'm going to see how he comes out of this and kind of take one race at a time. I hadn't gotten this had always been my goal, was to get him to Manhattan, and I really hadn't looked beyond this race. I was kind of disappointed when he was beaten in the prep race in the Fort Marcy because I couldn't see him getting beaten that day, and I really thought this Robert Bruce must be a pretty serious horse to beat him. But everything worked out well, and we got through this first one. So we'll come up with a plan for the rest of the year.
Well, you also either have to find another Manhattan candidate for next year or just steer him around.
We'll have to start working on that. We had to turn a send out, so maybe we'll have him back by then.
There you go. That's right. That's right. We talked about him last time we spoke. Well, in addition, Graham, we should also probably hit on a couple of the other performances from the weekend because you were well represented, and a grade one win is always nice on the weekend. You had a lot of seconds around the ovals over the weekend as well. You finished second in the Mint Julep with Celestial Insight. And also that rugby man kind of came along. He kind of had to be ridden in the easy goer. Some thoughts about those efforts?
Yeah, I mean, on rugby man, we thought there was a lot of speed in that race. He tends not to break very well, so I thought Jose gave him a great ride. He felt he had the best horse. He just started leaning on him in the stretch, and he just couldn't ride in the way he wanted to because he was leaning on Johnny's horse. And I think it probably cost him the race. He was beaten in the neck. I might have to put a pair of blinkers on him. He's still kind of green acting, but I think he could be kind of a Travers-type horse. I really like this horse. He's a great big horse. I don't know if you saw him on Saturday, but, I mean, I couldn't even see the valet when I was saddling him on Saturday. He's grown so much.
Well, then that means you didn't have Harry Rice as the valet.
That's right. And then Celestial Insight, I thought she ran a good race. I think she's a filly that's got a pretty good future. You know, first time off the layoff might have cost her, but I thought she ran a really credible race.
Well, I want to ask about the horse as well that I thought, I was kind of anticipating that at a big price, Equis was worth a look, and you know, felt like Chad's two mares were the horses to beat, certainly in New York, but that race was really strangely run when you look back at it.
Yeah, I was a little frustrated. I thought Flavian kind of got caught up with the, you know, following the speed horse, who almost acted like a rabbit, really. I think we could have maybe settled off the pace a little bit. I mean, she didn't run, considering the company she was keeping, it wasn't a disaster, but I wish we could have ridden her a little more patiently. But it was a very competitive race, and it might just be a little too much for her. So we'll hopefully get her back in a two other than. I think the mile and a quarter is going to suit her if she's ridden a little more patiently.
Now, she does have a bit of a look. Also, going back to Friday, that Carrie Ann, the third in the Better Roses, should mention that as well.
Yeah, she ran well. I mean, look, again, we were taking a big step with her. She's a filly that I've only had for about a month. She was bought privately by Brad Wiseboard, and she's a very attractive filly, and I thought she ran a very credible race, and she's group placed now. I think we'll get her back in a local listed race and try and win a stake with her and then look at bigger things over the summer. But I was very impressed with her effort.
And there was also, for those that were hanging around and sat through the watching the Queen's horse win the 2 mile Gold Cup, that Captain Hardship, that was a encouraging win.
Yeah, this is a horse that we've quite liked. I was a little disappointed first time back this year when we ran him at Laurel, but clearly he needs these longer distances. We kind of half-jokingly bought him as a Melbourne Cup prospect, so maybe it's not totally out of range. But we got a long way to go, but I thought he ran a good race on Thursday.
And that race rates pretty well, mile and three-eighths, and that was okay. Graham, obviously a satisfying weekend. You had that maiden win. You had the maiden win down at Laurel as well. Majestic Reason, going back to Friday, pretty much had wins everywhere you compete. So certainly a very nice start to the summer season as we end the Triple Crown run. What were your thoughts about the feature on Saturday that came after the Manhattan?
I mean, it left me breathless. I think it was an amazing atmosphere. I've been fortunate enough to be there twice now when that's happened, which is amazing. And I don't think there's a sporting event that you'll witness an atmosphere like that. You know, that hour, the lead up to the race for an hour, and the atmosphere after the race is just quite extraordinary. And I think, you know, whichever horse you're rooting for, I think everybody roots for a Triple Crown. It's a great thing for our game. I think it just goes to show that it can be done, but it just takes a very special horse. Nothing needs to change with a Triple Crown. It just takes a really good horse to do it.
I'm going to ask you, because you may have a unique perspective on this, given what transpired with Animal Kingdom's Belmont try, any perspective on some of the you know, some of the whistleblowing and some of the consternation over the tactics early out of the gate?
Yeah, I mean, I'd heard some talk of that, but, you know, it's race riding. You still got to win the race. I really don't know. I'd have to watch the race again to really comment on it. I did notice that Florent was kind of trying to keep back off the other horse, but, you know, he was also trying to get his horse to settle, so I can't honestly say that that there was anything tactical there. It just doesn't really make sense. And it, you know, I just wish people would stop looking for the negative on these things. You know, when it was mentioned that the Windstar horse of Todd's wouldn't run in the Belmont, I mean, how can you blame them for not running that horse? But at the end of the day, this horse is spectacular. He's done everything right. Baffert has done an amazing job with him. You know, it's a very difficult thing to do, and it took, whatever, 35, 36 years to get it done. And to come back and do it again, it's incredible, really, remarkable.
Very much. I agree. And speaking of doing it again, coming out of the Pimlico Special and heading to the Foster, Irish War Cry, all set for Saturday?
That's the plan. I briefed him at the end of last week. He'll ship on Wednesday or Thursday to Churchill, and that's the plan. All systems go so far.
Well, that'll be, I was there, 3 years ago, and the trophy presentation, I don't think that Justify will be paraded for an hour and 20 minutes the way American Pharoah did. A little bit of a different personality, but it'll be a special night there, Graham.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I've been lucky enough to be there that night and be presented with the Derby trophy, and it's a very cool night, no doubt about it.
Well, you'll be looking for your own trophy as Irish War Cry looks to extend the Pimlico Special into a special Foster double, Grand Motion, Manhattan win, and much more. Congratulations to you and Mr. Strawbridge, and look forward to talking soon. Maybe as soon as next Monday.
Look forward to it, Steve. Thank you.
Grand Motion, everybody. And Graham with a back-to-back Manhattan Ascend last year, Spring Quality this year. And next year he'll try to tie up Chad Brown. Chad won the three previous, and if you go back a couple of years earlier, Gio Ponti and Winchester, Christophe Clement won a pair in a row, as it happens. Bobby Frankel won a pair in a row, beat Hollow and Denon. How about that? I just happened to notice this. The how many repeat wins, but not with the same horse. And of course, you know, here's a funny aside. When we talk to Mig, we can ask Mig about it. He won Milicius for Skiff Dog, for Tommy Skiffington, but the previous year Antley had won on him for Dick Lundy. And of course both for Mrs. Payson. And the segment comes full circle because, of course, the draw was at Citi Field, New York Mets, Mrs. Payson. There you go. I love it. Let's take a break. Bottom of the hour coming up, and that means Bob Baffert. And we'll talk about Opportunity, and we'll talk about Abel Tasman, and I have to ask him, you know, there was the Baffert-Smith Triple Crown special at King of Birdos on over the weekend. But I hope he ordered my dish. I hope he ordered the Bic Brajol, or maybe the Privman Porterhouse, or the Siaka soft-shell crabs. And Manny Franco had a dish, too, which was the pecan-crusted salmon. It's pretty funny. We had such fun with that this weekend. The morning, predictably, has zipped by. Bob Baffert next to talk about a second Triple Crown feat with a horse that was a maiden in early February. An unraced maiden in early February. Back after this.
latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Enjoy Daily Racing Form's best value with a multi-track PP pack. Get five full-card PPs featuring the day's best racing for only $6. Each DRF multi-track PP pack features full-card DRF pass performances for the top tracks you want to play. Handicapping articles and analysis, closer looks for key tracks, and selections by DRF handicappers. Daily packs and longer plans for all budgets are available. Download full-card PPs for five of today's top tracks. Visit DRF.com/multi-track today.
The thoroughbred breeding industry will never be the same with the launch of Daily Racing Form's Buyer-Sire Performance Standings, presented by Darley. These groundbreaking ratings use buyer speed figures to measure a stallion's performance beyond wins and earnings, focusing on providing a measurement of a sire's true ability to produce high-quality horses. View the Buyer-Sire Performance Standings at drf.com/buyer-sire and get the true information that breeds results. That's drf.com/buyer-sire.
Porchbills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
The biggest stories in the world of horse racing. This is At the Races with Steve Bick on Sirius XM Radio.
There's dancing behind movie scenes, behind movie scenes. Sadi Rani, she's the one that keeps the dream alive from the morning past the evening to the end of the life. Graham Poole, Asher on the 45. Well, it's Graham Poole, Asher on the 45.
We're back at the races, coming up on about 25 to fill out on this Monday, first of our multiple days of recapping the weekend with just a lot to take in. And the scene on Saturday, you know, certainly... we talked, I think, leading in, certainly similar... to the American Pharoah setting, and at the same time, it had, I think the leading up, it just, it didn't have the same feel. And I kept asking everybody if they thought it was because of, you know, the Triple Crown having been accomplished by American Pharoah. And I'm not, some people, a lot of people on, particularly on Friday and into Saturday, said that they didn't, excuse me, that they didn't think that that was an issue, or that it I mean, if it was tampering down, you know, tamping down the enthusiasm, that it might have been something else. Maybe I hadn't thought of this until now. The fact that the horse really didn't have a juvenile season, a juvenile career to gain people's interest. I mean, American Pharoah, you know, had the big buzz, I mean, immediately as a 2-year-old. And so in terms of cultivating that following, I wonder if that, that's the first time that thought has crossed my mind. If just the reality that, you know, there was whatever, call it August, September, October, November, December. Yeah, that's 6 months, basically. That's a lot of publicity. That's a lot of, you know, that's a lot of, you know, birdseed trail to drop for, you know, awareness. So I wonder if that contributed. I'd be curious to see if anybody, if that, because I don't know if that's been, if I saw that anywhere in print as part of the discussion. And speaking of 2-year-olds, we're trying to, Casey's looking to scare up Bob. On the 2-year-old front, let me slip in that performance. You know, didn't mention Athens Queen at a nice price. Going back to Thursday, Wesley Ward, who is obviously his scene shifting to Royal Ascot, and he's got a flotilla headed there. So we'll catch up with that in coming midweek or beyond as we look ahead. And that performance, you know, there were two. He had the two in there. And as always seems to happen, the longer price of the two, the 11-1 shot, and the Asmussen Phoenix. Yeah, Phoenix obviously had a very solid weekend because they had that 2-year-old that they bought into, Lady Apple, and moved to Steve Asmussen and ran very well. The maid came into a maiden in the Astoria and rallies up the rail under Albin Jimenez, or basically was caught by Jimenez with Athens Queen, but Lady Apple ran very well, and she won't be a maiden too much longer. And the other winner, Our Brain Trust, that was the rally up the rail. The Cal Lynch that won the Tremont. So the two-year-old stakes, as Naira's trying hard to cultivate an early season. It's been kind of a slog, frankly, but they seem dedicated to the concept and are trying to, you know, do what they can to, you know, get horses started earlier in the late winter, and some 2-year-old bonus concepts and so forth. And in this particular case, you had horses from both Maryland and Florida. They had that Starlight, and obviously a pretty good weekend for Starlight, even with the second, that Sambayay that we talked about. In fact, we brought this one up with Jack Wolf when we talked to Jack after Derby. Had won at the end of April, was a good second himself in here. And the winner, Our Brain Trust, a Freud, Maryland bred, out of a Trust and Luck mare, and gets up to win the filly that Ward was trying in there. First winner. And she ran all right. She just got a little tired late. So, mentioning 2 year old and the tie in to justify not being a 2 year old in terms of a racehorse. Get the 2 year olds in as well. So, Case, Bob's phone is going straight over. All right. Well, give it a shot, and in fact, you know what we could do? Might be able to switch up. All right, let's also mention OBS June, and the June sale. You had, I think the breezes are, I think one more day today. Today's Monday. I think one more day of the breeze show. Haven't been paying attention exactly to what's been going on there. But Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you got the two-year-olds, and then you got the horses of racing age as well. So I think there is. I think there's one. I think today's the last day of the breezes. And there'll be another round of 2 year old purchase as next year's classic candidates start to percolate. Let's do this, Case. Take a break here, and we will either come back. If we can't get Bob, then we'll table it for tomorrow, and we'll switch it up. All right, back after this.
Latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up at ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9000. 938-4643.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.
Now, back
to At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Back at the races, about 10-12 to wrap up, and a couple of other results from not just from New York either. As we got a quick survey in, we'll more discussions certainly tomorrow. But the weekend up at Woodbine was important, and obviously, what was it, on Thursday, we gave a quick survey of what was going to happen elsewhere in the country. It's always hard on these kinds of weekends, but you know, to look away from the, you know, these monster, you know, Friday, Saturdays. I mean, to have the kind of, you know, the amount of stakes. I mean, what doesn't even really count them up, but 2, 4, 6, 8, 10. 10 on Saturday, 2, 4, 6, 8, and 8 on Thursday, Friday. So 18 stakes over the 3 days. But the Woodbine Oaks, the $500,000 Woodbine Oaks, which essentially was going to be a confrontation of Wonder Gadot and Dixie Moon. And that's what it turned into. But Wonder Gadot had, you want to talk classic small field, big trouble? Watch the Woodbine Oaks. They open the gates, and she's in the three hole, the two and the five, hot cash to her outside, and Queen's Fate to her inside. They managed to squeeze her first once. She sort of hesitates for a second under Patrick Husbands, and then completely steadies out of it. So she was back on heels immediately, and you know, to Husband's credit, he took his time, and then it looked like, you know, looked like in stretch she was, you know, she was getting to Dixie Moon, but Dixie Moon dug in and just would not let one. I think Wonder Gadot put her head, I think she did get her head in front or nose in front for a bob or two, and then, you know, Dixie Moon just stayed with her and gets the decision. Catherine Day Phillips for Sean and Dorothy Fitzhenry. And this is a Curlin homebred out of the Rahi Mare, Dixie Chicken. And I would absolutely have no trouble dialing up some little feet and playing some Dixie Chicken. I remember Dixie Chicken. And this Curlin filly coming out of the Celine, where Miss Momentum nipped her. But the Woodbine Oaks, Catherine Day Phillips. We'll see where else, you know, what, you know, a lot of times it's irresistible, these, and we'll, and I assume Wonder Gadot is also going to be considered for the Queen's Plate. Mark Cassie had talked about that. In the meantime, Cassie able to win anyway, the play trial. Telekinesis, a horse that we talked about during the Triple Crown trail, and Telekinesis had kind of, you know, had a buzz about him at Fairgrounds and got beat, you know, just the shortest of heads when it came to the Lexington, and then turned the attention toward Queen's Plate. So Telekinesis, the Ghost Sapper, for Stone Street, wins the plate trial. And got, I think I saw a high 80s, like a high 80s, 88 maybe, something like that, 80 something, 88 is right, 88 buyer, and we'll turn toward the the Queen's Plate, wire-to-wire winner, and this was more or less a merry-go-round group in the plate trial. And you also had one other. You had the Alley Wow that Mark won for Gary Barber and Jack Oxley. Mark soldering his two big owners together. And Gary Barber and Road to Victory, the Quality Road. This was the other. This was one of the other Quality Road wins on the weekend. Wins the Alley Wow, the turf sprint. On what was a nice card at Woodbine on Saturday, and a couple of others we should mention also in California. And you had the Honeymoon, which kind of it was kind of keeping an eye on the weekend, because you did have the Affirmed as well at Santa Anita, and that was yesterday when and Peter Hurton. With draft pick, and when we talked, I guess obviously at this point we'll talk to Baffert tomorrow, but draft pick, Peter Hurton with Joe Talamo wins the Affirmed, but Solomini I think was third in there, and on Saturday in the Honeymoon, paved, getting back on the grass, and we talked to, speaking of the Lieutenant that came up with John Gunther today, we had talked to Michael McCarthy about paved and coming out of the Providencia and that kind of weird trip, and she returned to her more typical trip that she likes, and under Gary Stevens she went on Saturday and went off actually a second choice. Fatale Barret, it looked like she was in a very comfortable position down inside, stalking pace, stalking animosity. But then when the real running started, she really kind of dropped anchor, Fatale Barret. And I didn't see anything that was, of course, out of the Providencia. And I didn't really see if there was any issue, but she really offered little resistance, never really, you know, put in a surge that you would have expected. So paved, came calling, and as second choice, wins. And this was, there we go, there's another Quality Road, all right? I said there was, the Quality Roads were all over the place over the weekend. And the Mint Julep that we brought up for a second with Grand Motion, Celestial Insight, running second at a nice price, 15-2. But it was Lovely Bernadette for Bernie Flint and owner Jim Miller. Resist, but disappointed. And of course, we had talked to Ian Wilkes last week, which was a lot of fun. And McCracken, didn't really put in a run in the Met, but Res Ispa, she kind of rallied meekly, and there was a decent enough pace, but not enough. And Lovely Bernadette under Corey Lannery, who did come from off the pace, and this is the first. This is Bernie Flint, first time he's saddled Lovely Bernadette, and she was spinning out of the Jenny Wiley. So a couple of winners out of the Wiley, with four-star Crook having been second to Sister Charlie, and she turned the tables on Sister Charlie, of course. But Lovely Bernadette takes the Mint Julep, so congrats to Bernie. Still sending out winners. 760. There was also, when we talked to Steve Asmussen about B. Jersey's win, and you know, Sid Fernando, I mentioned earlier in the show, but looking forward to Sid's recap. Sid spending the day with Mr. Fipke. Mr. Fipke all smiles, certainly. As Sid said, if Mr. Fipke's going to make the effort, it was a big, tell you what, it was a pretty big day for Canadian residents. John Gunther and Charlie Fipke. But Devil's Halo, a maiden winner. I got to look. I haven't seen this race. I got to look it up. But I didn't happen to see the chart. And a first-time starter an older horse, a Tappet, a homebred, and obviously had some issues, but has certainly worked really well. But a 4-year-old debuter, and one first asking. So we'll see what that is, and where this horse is. Obviously, this horse had been on the shelf. So plenty more to get to as we take stock from the weekend. Probably a good time here to say the thank yous and the acknowledgments from the week plus at Belmont, and really a smooth and flawless 10 days on that front. And want to thank Donnie Towle, who takes care of all the technical issues, Jody Petrovsky too, and of course Pat McKenna. And Pat, you know, Pat has to herd all the media cats. it's an unenviable task, but it sure felt like it was a very efficient and pleasant experience on that front. And when you have there's a lot of moving parts, and then of course thank you to everybody at NYRA who makes it pleasant. I did have a funny experience on the way home yesterday, that when I had to bring Tina, she took the train down on Friday, so we had to go to the train station as opposed to driving straight home, and I needed my she had driven us from the Siakas to the train station, so I had to get back behind the wheel, and I stopped for gas at a Stewart's, and I looked down, and you know how they have those advertising things on the handle of the gas pump, and there it is staring me in the face: buy your Saratoga season's pass. It made me smile. I because we always say, when you get to, you don't even have to get to Belmont, when you get to Kentucky, once the Triple Crown season starts, it's like a rocket sled, not just through the 5 weeks, but also straight through. It means that Saratoga and the summer is inching closer. And then when you get here, the spurs will really be put to the season, because once we get through Belmont, Saratoga, and for everybody out west, Del Mar, really staring us. I'll also, you know what, I have a nice, it's nice to have a comfortable time to close out after a weekend like this, and also to thank everybody that made the Triple Crown season coverage on the road possible, and the Pennsylvania Horse Breeders Association, and certainly with George Strawbridge winning and Spring Quality having a Pennsylvania bred on the weekend, and the Kentucky Thoroughbred Association, as well as the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund, looking forward to turning toward Ellis and then Kentucky Downs as well, and trying to work out a Kentucky Downs trip. The Virginia Equine Alliance that is preparing for a return to racing at Colonial next year. And, of course, the Virginia Certified Program, if you're you got a baby, you're weanling, time to move it from the mare, send it to Virginia, get Virginia certified. 6 months, anytime before they turn 3, and you're eligible for terrific 25% purse bonuses anywhere you compete in the Northeast. It's a tremendous addition. The Match Series, and of course the Match Series now looks toward the end of the month, the Islin, for instance, as well as the Regret next week. A couple more, too, I think. The Mr. Prospector, too, at Monmouth next week. Cole Ranch. Steve Cole, you've been hearing Steve's ad, and they've got the opportunity to get in horses, but not just get in to horse with Steve, but also all the things you can do at the full-service farm. Mare, foal care, yearling care, breeding, starting, training, and should really get Steve on this week and talk about everything that he's got at Cole Ranch in Terrabella. I thank everybody. And then, of course, as well, Graham Motion, John Gunther, Johnny D, Andy Beyer, Tim Keefe, as we get through a furious first day of recapping the weekend. More tomorrow. And, like Johnny says, they're running more races. Delaware Park today, Finger Lakes, Louisiana Downs, Mountaineer, Parks, Presque Isle, Thistledown, Arapahoe. Good luck if you're playing. Replay 6 to 9 here on SiriusXM. SteveBick.com for the podcast and archive. And I'll talk to you tomorrow morning. Thanks.
The latest racing news. It's At the Races with Steve Bick on SiriusXM Radio.
Hey, what's going on? Mikey here, and I'm going to tell you about an offer from my good friends at ExpressBet. Let's be honest. We know you love playing the races, but you can't always make it to the track. Sometimes life just gets in the way of a good bet. Well, what if I told you about a place where you never miss a bet and you start with house money? You'd say I'm crazy, right? Well, not at ExpressBet. Your first $100 are on them. That's right. Sign up with ExpressBet.com using promo code XBRadio, bet $100, and they'll deposit $100 back into your account the very next day. Hey, plus you could get an extra $25 if you use Express Fund Direct Deposit. You see what I mean? House money for betting the races. It's that easy. Check it out at ExpressBet.com to learn more. And don't forget to sign up for promo code XBRadio. You're gonna love it. And that's a Mikey guarantee. Must be 18 years or older and 21 years old in certain states to open an account with ExpressBet and reside in a state where such activity is legal. Void or prohibited. National Gambling Support Line 800-522-4700.
Pennsylvania's breeding program is truly the most lucrative in North America. Now, we'll pay a 50% breeder award for PA-sired, PA-bred maidens who run first, second, or third, with 25% for non-PA-sired, PA-breds. Last year, the number of mares bred rose by 15% in Pennsylvania. And unlike some other states, our Racehorse Development Fund can only be used to support Pennsylvania breeding and racing. This is Brian Sanfratello. Please visit us at PABred.com.
This is Steve Cole from the Cole Ranch, a horse farm and training center located in California. We offer folks the chance to join hands with us to own a young racehorse from our farm. We're dramatically different compared to most popular racing partnerships because we don't charge fees or commissions, and we don't inflate the value of the horse. Most racing partnerships buy a horse at auction for, say, $100,000, then turn around and sell shares for $200,000. We value our horses realistically and don't add on fees or commissions. Right now, Cole Ranch is selling shares in a two-year-old calibred colt named Mr. Wickham. He's my heat seeker out of Serena's Echo, our stakes-producing mare, who is a full sister to multimillionaire Thor's Echo. You can get into this horse for as little as $1,000, which will entitle you to a 5% interest. If you want to invest in this horse, please call me at area code 805-990-3669 or visit us on the web at thecoleranch.com.
Horsebills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, paperless revolution. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for owners and other vendors who can pay through Horsebills.com for just 50 cents. Turn hours of work into minutes with our easy-to-use site. Have our team take over your bookkeeping or continue to do it yourself and pay only our low monthly subscription fee. Check out our video tutorial on the Horsebills.com YouTube channel and get started today for free. Horsebills.com. Toll-free number 888-9
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? The Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.